in your heart. How will it happen? So this morning, I would like all of us to leave this carol service knowing that with God, what I'm about to share with you, I want you to know that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. I need you to turn to somebody because I'm not convinced that you believe me. I need you to turn to somebody and say, with God, nothing is impossible. If you believe it, that is. But I'm just saying, if you believe it, I need you to say that again. With God, nothing is impossible. And you know what? We say this oftentimes enough, and it has become a cliche in church. But as we take a fresh look with new eyes at this miraculous event, our faith in God is built up, and whatever we are believing God for, this story of the birth of Jesus Christ, Son of God, that we celebrate every year will bring us hope for whatever impossible situation we face. And some of these Bible readings that I'm going to read for you now has been read already, but I just want to read them again so that we can just keep it in our minds as I go through this story. It says, now this is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, the title of my sermon, how can this be? How will it happen? Since I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Amen. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. And then Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, remember this, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was so faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, we've just read two bits of the Bible, one from Luke, one from Matthew. Matthew doesn't really tell us about the birth of Jesus Christ, but Luke does. Matthew instead tells us where Jesus comes from, and he tells the story through the eyes of Joseph. Now, when I was looking at this, I'm thinking, this is an interesting story, but I want to look at some responses to the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary's response, we've read the story, and the angel appeared, and Mary responds to that. And from the scriptures we have read, we found she's found herself with child. She was pregnant, but she hadn't been with a man. Tell me if that's not a miracle. The Bible tells us that she was a virgin, and a miraculous conception had taken place. So when the angel appeared to her to explain what was happening, she responded like any other teenager would after meeting an angel. And he appears and tells her, you are to carry Jesus Christ. And I can understand her response. She probably responded like this. I understand what you're saying, Gabriel, because, you know, I've read the books of the prophets. I've read Isaiah. Yes, I have. Where it says in chapter 7, verse 14, it says that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Gabriel, I know all of that. Yeah, I know it. But how is it going to happen? How will it happen? Since I do not even know a brother. I don't know a man. How is it going to work? This morning, that there are some things that will not happen, even if we have the best brains in the world. Science cannot do it. Research cannot find it. The doctors cannot do it. Our knowledge and our abilities can only go so far because we are limited. It takes the hand of God. Right, okay. Now, this is very... See, Mary said to the angel, how is it going to happen? And the angel probably responded something like this. It's not in the Bible, but he may have said, oh, okay. This is where it gets interesting, Mary. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Because the Bible tells us that Mary was afraid. The angel says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. You don't actually even have to do anything. You just need to be available. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. You see, what the angel was trying to tell Mary was this. That God, the Holy Spirit, was going to come upon her. And the miraculous was going to happen. She was going to be prepared for great works. Just like he did, the Holy Spirit, when he came upon Jesus, as he came out of the Jordan, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon. need the Holy Spirit to come upon us. We cannot be effective. Actually, we cannot do anything effectively unless the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Come upon us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And then you will be a witness throughout the world. This is what the scripture is saying. A witness is someone who carries the evidence. Is that right? Thank you, my brother. A witness is somebody who carries the evidence. They have seen something. They have experienced something. I would like to say that every one of us here who are believers are also witnesses. Because we have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you haven't, I have. And therefore, I am a witness of Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, Mary became a witness. Not a Jehovah's Witness, but a witness of Jesus Christ. A witness of his power. Is anybody with me? Oh, yeah. So she carried, Mary carried the evidence. She was a carrier of the miracle for 9 months. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, somebody in this place becomes a witness. There is a miracle that is about to happen in your life when the Holy Spirit alights upon you. How will it happen? You know, I've read it. I've seen it in the prophets, but how, Gabriel, will it happen? The power of the highest will overshadow you. You see, the word overshadow means to cover with a cloud. As in the cloud of Shekinah glory experienced in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 10. Or the cloud of transfiguration. This is what the angel is trying to explain to Mary. The cloud of transfiguration that we read about in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. He was still speaking. This is Jesus. When, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This cloud was a visible manifestation of the glory and the presence of God. This means that the same power of God that was in Moses and in others that we read about in the Bible, Old and New Testament, was going to do this unique work, this unique miracle. Hallelujah. In the life of Mary. Anytime. And this is why I pray. I say, God, let there be an overshadowing. Anytime there is an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, a miracle always occurs. Is hallelujah. Who was that? Yeah. You got it, my sister. God bless you. You see, overshadowing also speaks of towering over, or a casting of shadow over, or hovering over. Just like Peter's shadow overshadowed those who lined the streets, and the Bible said that immediately they were healed. Ah. Somebody's praying for an overshadowing today. Yes, God. Line the streets, the overshadowing happens, and they were healed. I love the word hovering, because overshadowing also means hovering. It means that God was going to hang around for a little while. He was going to stay around until something happens. This is what I love about God. You know, sometimes when I people ask me to pray for them, I sometimes I say, I am not leaving until a miracle happens. You know, that is faith. Too many times we give up, but sometimes we have to hang around, because the God that we carry, sometimes we need to just wait until the miracle happens. Yes, saints, I'm going to tell you, you know, this isn't the time when we have to say, yeah, yeah, I pray, I'm giving up now. But sometimes it takes for us to wait until God says, yeah, this is the moment. This is the moment I'm going to just move upon you. You see, God hovered, the Bible tells me, God hovered over the waters in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. He hovered over the deep. The Bible says that it was void and it was empty. Actually, nothing was there. But I love the Spirit of God, because He loves to work with nothing. Yeah. He loves to work with emptiness. Ah, He's going to take what you have, the nothing that you have, and He's going to create a miracle out of it. Yeah. Your situation this morning, you come to this meeting, I want to tell you that your situation may look impossible. But if God decides that He's going to hover over your situation, you say, yes, Pastor Brian, I don't know how it's going to happen. I have nothing left. But I tell you something, if God decides, let me hover over this situation today, I'm telling you, you're going to walk out of this place with a miracle. This is how God works. Hover over me, Lord. Hover over me, God. Hover over my situation. It looks impossible, Lord, but I give it to you, my emptiness. Hover over it. Hover over it. Hover over my pain. Hover over my cancer. Hover over my children who are difficult. Mary's response. How's it going to happen? Now I'd love to look at Joseph, because it seems to me when we're talking about what has occurred, years has passed, and we always seem to be just focusing on Mary and the angels and the donkey, the cattle, the wise men, and the stars. But where was Joseph in all of this? How does Joseph fare in all of what was happening? So what do we know about Joseph? The Bible tells us that he was a carpenter. Matthew 13:55. The Bible tells us that he was a just man. Matthew 1:19. The Bible tells us that he belonged to Nazareth. Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. He was from the line of King David. Matthew chapter 1, 20. Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. That his father's name, you can either call his father Heli, Luke chapter 3, 23, or Jacob. It's up to you. Matthew chapter 1, 16. And the Bible tells us that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. This was a man that she was going to spend the rest of her life with. And I would presume that Mary and Joseph were in love. I would presume that, because they were planning to get married. I presume that's how it works. You fall in love, and then you tie the knot. They were betrothed. So what does to be betrothed mean? In those days, there were three stages to getting to marriage. Three stages. Here we only have one, which is the engagement. And then we have the marriage. Two? What is it? The request. Okay. Sometimes I wonder if I'm married. I should know that. Yeah, I am married. Okay. There were two. Then there were three. Firstly, you have the engagement. Now, the engagement is not like how we have engagements here, where we throw a big party and we invite people or we go out for a meal and then the man produces the ring. It's not like that. Engagement here is a formal, actually, agreement that is made between the fathers of both parties. Now, that's interesting. They would probably go out for a coffee and they would agree, my son will marry your daughter. And they agree on that. That is what you call the engagement. Yeah, no, that's the engagement. The betrothal comes after. Right, so the engagement happens first. Stay with me, somebody. Not in your culture, but this is how it was in the Jewish culture. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just telling you the process now. So the process. They weren't betrothed to be married. So they've already gone through the engagement process, where the parents, the two fathers, have met and they say, "Yeah, my son, your daughter." That is the engagement. And now we move into the betrothal stage, and this is a ceremony where mutual promises are made. Right. So they were at this stage. When all of this happened, they were betrothed to be married. So they've already been engaged, now they were betrothed. That's the stage they were at when Mary became pregnant. And then thirdly, there is the marriage. Okay? So we have engagement, betrothal, and then marriage. And this happens approximately 1 year after the betrothal. So the betrothal happened, and then a year later, the man is walking up the drive to go and get his bride. So it happens a year after. So Mary and Joseph, I just want you to understand, were not at the stage of marriage yet, but they were betrothed to be married. So when a couple was betrothed, they were under obligations of faithfulness, and a divorce was required to break the betrothal. Does that make sense? Yeah? Mm-hmm. So this was not just a casual promise. They were both looking forward to their marriage when out of the blue this happens. She is pregnant, but she remains a virgin. She had never had sexual relations with any man. Nowadays, if a woman gets pregnant out of wedlock, it is seen as normal. But in those days, I'm going to tell you, you could be even stoned to death. How does Mary, try and picture this now, how does Mary explain the position that she finds herself in to Joseph? How does she start? What will his reaction be? Surely, he's gonna think that she's been unfaithful, wouldn't you? You've never seen a miracle before. An angel hasn't appeared to you before. Now you're betrothed into a film. Joe, because she calls him Joe rather than Joseph, because, you know, they've, do you know what I mean? They've got to know each other. Yeah? You know what I mean? So, Joe, you know, the other day when I was acting a little strange, apparently strange things happen to you when you're pregnant. I'm told. And I've been married, so I've seen it. I have three children. You tend to eat more. Is that right? A little, yeah. Your body goes through changes. They say, my wife was never like this, but they say that the woman becomes moody. Joe, the other morning, when you heard me throwing up in the bathroom, it's because I was poorly. The fried chicken that we had last night wasn't working with me, Joe. It was off. Yeah, it was off. And I had a visitation from an angel. An angel appeared to me. Yeah. I was just sitting there, Joe, and out of the blue, an angel appeared and said, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And I was thinking to myself, how strange is this? What kind of a greeting is this? It sounds a bit suspicious. That's what I was thinking, Joe. I'm going to tell you, I was petrified, Joe. I tell you, I was afraid. Have you ever seen an angel before, Joe? But then he said to me, "It's okay, Mary. Don't worry, Mary. Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. And you will conceive in your womb, and you will have a son, and you will call his name Jesus." Yeah, Jesus. And he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom. This is what he was saying to me, Joe. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Yeah, right. And then I can imagine Mary turns to Joseph and said, "Actually, what I'm trying to tell you, Joe, is that I am pregnant." Say it again. Pregnant. Say it again. How many times do I have to tell you, Joe? I am pregnant. Somebody's going to help me here. Joe, how many times do I have to tell you, in my womb, I'm carrying something? I am pregnant. Yes. We don't know what was going through Joseph's head. He would probably at this moment be disbelieving. If my fiance came to me and said, "I am with child," my first and only response would be, "Well, it's not mine. It's got to be somebody else's child." Seriously. Or, it's a miracle. Now, I believe in miracles, but this one would be very, very difficult. to believe. Mary, don't play with me. You know I don't handle these kinds of jokes very well. Don't mess around with me, Mary. It's not a joke, Joe. I've even spoken to my cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, you know something is happening here, Joe, because you know Elizabeth is old in age and she cannot have children. And I went up and I saw Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, who was barren, is pregnant. You gotta believe me, Joe. Look, feel the bump. Feel the lump, it's there. Joseph must have thought to himself, can you imagine yourself in this position, in Joseph's position? What are people going to think? I'm going to be stoned. Because in the Levitical law, recorded in Deuteronomy 22, it tells you that people in this position were stoned. You're about to lose your life. Because how do you explain to people, yes, we are together, but we're not together because we've never done anything? Who's going to believe that? The Bible says that being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, Joseph knew that if Mary had been unfaithful to him, it would be impossible to go through to marriage. Yet this nature, as a just man, also did not want to make this an unnecessary hardship or stigma upon Mary. And so Joseph made the decision that he will do away with her quietly. He would divorce her. Because even though they weren't married, they were betrothed, you had to go through a divorce procedure. And I can imagine, as Joe laid there thinking about how he's going to deal with this situation. This is how it works, isn't it? Has anyone ever, you feel like you're in trouble and you just cannot sleep? I don't know if anybody's been there before. How am I going to deal with this situation? How am I going to explain it to my parents and the people in my community? What can I do? I know what I'll do. I'll divorce her secretly. Nobody's going to know. I'm just going to get rid of her. It was too much for him to bear, and he fell asleep. The heaviness of the situation was too much for him. He fell into a deep sleep. And the Bible said that he began to dream. And an angel appeared to him in the dream and spoke to him and told him everything that had taken place. He's told him it's got nothing to do with you, Joe, but everything to do with God, the Holy Spirit, what is happening. That was Joseph. What about the people? What were the people's response? The truth of the supernatural conception of Jesus Christ was disbelieved by many. It was then, 2,000 years ago. And it is today. And there's lies that have been told. Even now, there are lies that have been told about the birth and the conception of Jesus Christ. And would you believe it that there are references made in the Bible to this? John chapter 8, verse 19. It says, they said to him, therefore, where is your father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. Where is he? Where is your father? And in John chapter 8, in that same chapter, verse 41, it says, you are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children. They protested. This is what they were saying about Jesus. The only father we have is God himself. This is what the people were saying. There is no other way of his being born. For had he been born of a sinful father, how should he have possessed a sinless nature, sinless life? He is born of a woman that he might be human, but not by man, that he might not be sinless. That was the people's response. What is your response this morning to this story? I don't know about you, but my faith in God has risen to the level now where I truly believe that with God, all things are possible. Because if God can do this and so much more that we have read and so much more that I have seen, I can stand here and say to you that with God, nothing is impossible. And so I look at your situation, and you look at your situation, and you've got to say to yourself, if God can do this, he can do anything. That's my response. What is your response? And a miracle can happen when God begins to hover over your situation. Now, I don't know what position you're in today, but I have come to declare to you that with God, all things are possible. And there is nothing that God cannot do. He can do all things. If he can cause the mighty God to descend and to be living in the womb of a woman for 9 months, he can do anything. I want you to get that in your spirit this morning. This, for me, is an extraordinary carol service, because I'm coming to declare that God is with us. Amen. Emmanuel, God is with us. And when God is with you, the impossible happens. Please stand to your feet. Today, this story brings hope. The true story of Jesus Christ brings hope. And things might look impossible for you. I want you to have faith this morning. Think about what God has done. Think about your situation, the position you are in today. Now, I don't know all the situation that you're finding yourselves in. I don't know it all. But what I can say to you, that God is able. He is able. And if God, by his power, decides to hover over your situation, I declare today that a miracle will happen in your life. A miracle will be birthed. Yeah. You see, sometimes God might begin the miracle now, but you might not see it until 9 months later. You might not see it until a year later or even tomorrow. But I tell you something, when God decides, I'm going to hover over your situation, look, you know, I've got pain in my body. It's been so many years, Lord. And please hover. Hover over my situation. How will it happen? The Holy Spirit will hover over yours. How will it happen? Oh God, I'm in trouble. Everything around me is falling apart. I need help. Ask God to hover over your situation. Lord, I feel broken. I feel bruised. I don't even feel as if I'm able to forgive. Lord, hover over my situation. Bring healing. Bring deliverance. My son, my daughter, have gone away from you, God. Hover over them right now and bring them back. For a few minutes, just you begin to speak to God and just ask him. I declare today, I declare that as you do that sincerely, you believe God, he is able. He is able. Those things that looks impossible to you. God, if you have faith right now, God is able. Talk to him. Know the God that you serve. Miracle working God. This season, God will release his power. The gift of the Holy Spirit will be released, and he will hover over you. In the name of Jesus. If you have been praying and asking God to hover over your situation, I just want you to just raise your hands. I don't want to know what it is that you've been praying for, but if you have been asking God, I just want you to raise your hands just high. Raise them high. Because this is the place where miracles happen. God is in the room. In the name of Jesus, Son of the living God, our healer, our provider, the miracle worker, God himself, I declare right now in the name of Jesus, miracles, Lord, in this place will begin to happen right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, you're going to surprise these people. How will you do it, God? How will it happen? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I release your power, oh God, for every hand that is raised, hands that are raised in this place, God. And at the end of this year, 2019, I release your power upon every person, and a miracle must happen, God. And they'll come back and they'll testify. They will be witnesses of the grace and the power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I believe you, Lord. You are great. And you are awesome. Right now, Holy Spirit, breathe. Breathe upon somebody. Breathe upon somebody. The breath of God. Hover over their situation, God, I'm asking you. So that we can go from here and we can testify of what you have done. We can say that we carry something. It has been released. God, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks.